Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in the book of 1 John 1:16. The title of the message today is 1:16. John loves to teach us about love, how to love, and how to walk in it. Because why? John was an apostle of love. Tradition tells us even when John could not walk anymore, they made a stretcher for him, and they would carry him to the front of the church, and he would preach. He would talk about God's great love for us, the unfathomable love that he has. And we should never be ashamed of him and his greatness. He has also talked about sin and how we need to turn away from that sin, and that we need to walk not in habitual darkness, but we need to walk in the habitual light. Now, how do we know how to walk? Well, the answer would be, we have God's Word. How do we know if we are walking correctly? Well, let's see. What's the answer? We have God's Word. How do we know if we are compromising? Let me think. Well, the answer? We have God's Word. We as believers need to be unashamed when Jesus returns. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." There are many people who love this verse, but I hope they realize how serious this verse is, because it's a very sobering verse. People love to quote it. They wear it on Christian t-shirts. They get it tattooed on their body. There's even a group called the 116 Click, which was started by Lecrae. And Lecrae is an excellent rapper. And he has 116 tattooed on his body, and so do the other rappers who follow the 116 Click. When in actuality, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17 are a connected verse together. And they're a very serious connection. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." This is the theme of the whole book of Romans in two verses, 16 through 17. It's the reason many years ago, as Martin Luther got sick and tired of watching the church take indulgences and step on the poor, he sat down to study and he got saved reading these two verses when he was in seminary. These two verses sent Luther on a war against the hypocrisy of the time and started the Protestant movement. It is the reason that John Wesley was walking in religion, and he was struggling as he was working and doing good things to get himself saved. Then one night he was at a service, and God opened his heart and strangely warmed it while he heard a sermon based on Luther's commentary from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Paul says in verse 16, it is the gospel, the power of God. The purpose is salvation, and the means is if you believe, and the scope is to everyone. The theme of this is the good news of Jesus Christ. The Greek says, "I am not ashamed. I am proud of the gospel." Are you proud of the gospel in your job? Are you proud of the gospel in your schools? Are you proud of the gospel in your daily lives? Are you proud of the gospel? Do you share the good news of Jesus in your job, or do you hide it? Do you share the good news and live it in your school? Are you unashamed of it? As people find out you're a believer, is it apparent? Or is it a huge surprise to them because of your behavior? If we are so proud of it, why am I not seeing people share it more and more often? Why aren't churches growing in number? There are people in this congregation that have access to people some of us don't. They have a great chance that they could share and people could be saved and they could be here in church if only those people chose to step up and they chose not to be ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. I love sharing these verses and seeing people get saved. The Holy Spirit moving in my mouth to share scripture, then something clicks in them. The beauty of a one-on-one experience with an unsaved person who becomes saved right in front of our eyes. Now verse 17 says, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Romans chapter 1 verses 16 through 17 is actually taken from Habakkuk 2:4 in the Old Testament. "See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." Galatians 3:11 says, "Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith." Hebrews 10:38 says, "But my righteousness one will live by faith, and I will take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." This verse in Habakkuk is quoted in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Galatians 3:11, and in Hebrews 10:38. If you read the epistles, I want you to note something as you're reading the Bible in the New Testament. Romans, the book of Romans, is the just. The book of Galatians is will live. And Hebrews is by faith. So the theme of Romans is being made just, then Galatians teaches us how we should live in freedom, and Hebrews teaches us greatly about faith. The just will live by faith. The three things we need to have from these verses: I am obligated, I am eager, I am unashamed. You need these three things to be a Christian. It is revealed from faith to faith, not to faith to works or faith to being a good person. It is faith to faith. In Galatians, the Jewish believers told the Gentile ones in order to be saved, they had to get circumcised, and that is dead wrong orthodoxy. There are many times in the epistles where good Christians add to the Gospels. It is faith to faith, the power of God to salvation. Martin Luther said, "Sola fide and sola scriptura." The Latin is, "You are saved only by faith alone, and you are taught only by Scripture alone." There is no other way to be saved except by faith in Jesus alone. And the ultimate authority in our lives should be Scripture alone. And in those things, we should not be ashamed. Now, we're in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, if you're following along in your Bibles. And it says here, And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Those who are born again, technon, this is the first time he mentions the return of Jesus Christ in his epistles. This confidence is in the language. Someone who was innocent, who stood in a courtroom and was unashamed to speak openly about things. Some people will be ashamed at his coming. Some people who call themselves Christians will be ashamed at his coming. Why? Because they are not truly living for him. They may say they're unashamed of the gospel and they have faith in Christ, but is their ultimate authority the Word of God, sola fide and sola scriptura? How are you living? Are there things in your life that needs to be changed? What's your inventory? Make an inventory of compromise for this part. Let's look at the behavior of the compromiser here for a moment, according to the Word of God and according to Scripture. The lukewarm believer that's walking on the fence, like we talked about last week, that there's no in-between, there's just darkness and light. The walking the fence. How about fornication and adultery in the Christian life? Matthew 5:32, 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20, 1 Corinthians 6:9, Hebrews 13:4, Galatians 5:19 through 21, Revelation 21:8. I could go on, but those are just a few. How about drunkenness in the Christian life? Proverbs 20 verse 1, Proverbs 23:20, Isaiah 28:7, Luke 21:34, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:19 through 21. How about other popular lifestyle choices that Christians and mainline denominations are Gnosticizing? Romans 1:18 through 32, 1 Corinthians 6:9, 1 Timothy 1:8 through 10, Jude 7, Revelation 21:8, to name just the New Testament ones. How about recreational drugs for the believer? Revelation 9:21, Revelation 18:23, Revelation 21:8, and Revelation 22:15. Isn't it interesting that the word is used in the book referring to the end times? The recreational drugs will be prevalent in an end times culture. But those are just a few. But there are others as well. Paid under the table, cheating on your taxes, lying, corruption in business and politics, pornography, the inner feelings mentioned before the fruits of the Spirit, all done by people who call themselves Christians in our culture today. Verse 28, and now, dear children, continue to live in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Live in a way you can speak freely, because there are Christians that are living in compromise. And then verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. In other words, Christ could come at any moment, and this world is going to go up like a ball of flames. It says he's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, he could come while you're staring at something inappropriate on your computer screen. He could come while you're on that beer between a buzz and total drunkenness. He could come while you're in an inappropriate act with your mistress. He could come while you're beating on your spouse. He could come in the middle of a shady deal. He could come while you're getting high on some wacky tobacco. Then, in the twinkling of an eye, you stand before him and you say, I'm proud and unashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Whoops. Well, I know what I was doing, but really, I'm doing right because I was born of you, Jesus? I'm not talking about someone who's struggling in their sin. I'm talking about a believer who says they're saved, and they are in direct violation of sola fide and sola scriptura. Sola fide, saved by faith in Christ alone. I'm a good person and a Christian, and I'm going to heaven. I believe all religions go to heaven, even though I'm a Christian. I helped to build the pavilion onto the church, and that gets me to heaven. I gave money to the church, so that gets me to heaven. I'm a lifetime member of the church, and that gets me to heaven. Sola fide. Those who are not sola fide, then God teaches His Word is the ultimate authority. Sola scriptura. The believer will live in his spirit and by the Word of God. How can you say I'm not a Christian? Because I live and fornicate with my girlfriend. Because the Bible says it, not me. I'm a Christian, and Jesus drank, so I can get drunk whenever I want. And who are you to tell me otherwise? Because the Bible says it, you can argue with the inspired word then. Well, that church agrees with my lifestyle, and if you don't agree with my lifestyle, you're just a bigot anyway. I'm not a bigot. I'm a Bible-believing believer, unlike you, and that's what the Bible says. I'm a Christian, and you can tell me because I smoke wacky tobacco, I'm not. The earth is nature, and God made nature, so getting high for fun is not wrong. God also made plutonium, and that's natural, so why don't you go smoke that in your pipe? The ultimate authority is Scripture alone. The ultimate way to salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Romans 1:16 through 17. 1 John 2:28-29. Very serious and sobering verses. How are you truly living? Are you even reading the Bible? You know, if this is the fun part, I'm going to close with this. When I was out working full-time in the world, bivocationally, and I would go to work every day, even when I was in a bad mood, or grumpy, or whatever it was, I'd be walking down the hallway of my job, and the Lord was so good about this. And all the time people were stopping me. What's different about you? You live differently. You're not like the other people. There's something different about you that I see in you, but I don't see in other people. And when I was in the world, it was a totally different thing. And hopefully now that I'm in the world, it's the same way. I'm hoping when people see me that they're seeing a difference. Because I pray every day. I do my best to live by Scripture. And I'm hoping that people see a difference in me. And sometimes I screw up. And I may screw up for months at a time. But then I'm happy and blessed that God gets me back on the right track. Because we can struggle. But my question to you today is, while you're out there in that world, and while you're walking amongst people who do not believe in Jesus Christ, they do not have technon, they are not born again, they are not reading the Word of God, they are not trying to live the way that the Bible teaches, and I'm asking you today, do they see something different in you? Do they know that you are different? Or are you just like everybody else? And when people see you, you just blend in. You just mix in with everybody else. Because you're saying the same things and you're doing the same things and you're walking the same ways. Because, and this is how it works. You see, you have the Christian that's just walking in compromise. And there's people that are just like, they don't even know that they're a Christian. Then there's the other Christian that's so legalistic that when people see them, they're like, oh gosh, here comes the rule maker. Well, you shouldn't be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing that, and you shouldn't be doing that, and doing this, and doing that. But then there's the middle ground when someone's filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're living the Bible. You know, and they're not like out there saying, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. But what they're doing is that they're living the Bible. And they're living what the Word is teaching them. And there's something that's shining in them. That when people see them, they know that something's different. And they know that they're unashamed about what they are. Being a Christian and being unashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. And just because we put that on our Facebook doesn't mean that we're living it. Just because you type amen on Facebook doesn't mean you're going to heaven when somebody posts something and says, if you love Jesus, type amen. Are you unashamed? Are you walking in the sola scriptura? These are sobering words. That's why, which every week it is, the altar's open. Maybe you need to get right. Maybe you need to change something in your life. Because when people see you, they don't see Jesus. They see someone who's just like them. And yeah, we are just like them. That is truth. I am no better and no different than anybody else, even though the title I have is pastor. But do they see Jesus in you? And if Jesus is in you, then you should be living differently. You should be walking differently. And if you are not and you're struggling, well then God, as you surrender to Him, can change that. But if you're just living like everybody else and walking in the world and everybody, there's no difference in who you are compared to everybody else. Well, I'm telling you this. Are you unashamed? Are you not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? For it's the power to salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Let's pray. Father, I lift up each and every person here listening to my voice today, Lord, and I ask, Lord, that you would be with them. Lord, that you would help them not to live in compromise. That, Lord, if they are struggling today as a believer, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to surrender that struggle to you. That, Father, if they are living in compromise, and if they're just loosely living as a lukewarm Christian and they're walking the fence, Lord, I pray that you would just help them with that. Help them to see that. And help them to take that to the altar. Help them to get it correct. Help them to surrender it to you. And Lord, I pray for us because we live in these difficult times where culture wants to add to scripture and it's just not a good thing. So I pray, Father, that you would help us in these areas, Father. That you would be with us in these areas and that you would help us in these struggles. That when culture comes in and says, this is how we should live, that we turn and say, no, this is how the Word of God says we should live. Well, you're judging me. No, the Word of God says this. The Word of God judges, not us. So, Lord, help us to do that. And in that, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.